has been said. Mr. Didat, as in all these lectures, we'll allow a few minutes. It is late. If anybody wants to ask any questions, would like to clarify any points, we'll just allow a few questions in the time that we have.
I'll convert it.
Maybe it's just made the ball rolling. Is it possible that Rama and Krishna, though they may have been transformed into gods, could have been maybe prophets at that time sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, in the Holy Quran, we are made to accept this principle that every nation has had a guide. وَإِمْ مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَىٰ فِيهَا نَزِيرٌ. And there never was a people without a warner in the Prophet being sent among them. And again in the Holy Quran Allah says, وَلَكُلِّ قَوْمٍ حَالٍ. And to every nation a guide. This is His law. If Allah Ta'ala is not partial with regards to His material gifts to the sinner and the saint, He sends them, His rain, His fresh air, His sunshine on everybody, why would He deprive any group of people from His spiritual blessing? Guided. The reasoning is not. He shouldn't. He wouldn't. Then what about these people? Is it possible that they could have been men of God? I believe it is possible. From this experience, from the Christian Bible, you see, in the Christian Bible, which is Jewish and Christian, both put into one, they call the Old Testament and the New Testament, you read there about certain prophets in this book. You read there about Lut alayhi salam, Hazrat Lut alayhi salam. In this book they tell you that his daughter seduced him night after night. Lut alayhi salam. He committed incest with his daughters and he made them pregnant. You believe that? Would you believe that?
No.
Because Allah tells us, our principle is that every prophet, we say, is sinless. Every prophet is sinless. And Hazrat Lut alayhi salam, we say, he was a prophet of God. If he was a prophet of God, he is sinless. Could he be cohabiting with his daughters and be getting bastard children from them? The answer is no. But the book says so. Had it not been for the Quran testifying that Lut alayhi salam was a messenger of God, would you have believed that he was a prophet? Would you? A man committing incest with his daughters? No. Can you see that? Nuh alayhi salam. He said Nuh alayhi salam. In the Quran he is testified. There is Allah's Nabi. Sinless. But the Bible tells us that he got drunk and he was lying naked. You believe that? Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. You believe it? But his father, Dawud alayhi salam. You know, he goes and commits adultery with Uriah's wife. Not a Shiva. According to the Bible, Haram court, and he had that guy, that woman's husband killed, murderer, would you believe that he was a prophet of God? No. But Allah says so. He's Allah's Nabi, we believe. He's Allah says it's sinless, we believe. There it is. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he had 1,000 wives and concubines. 1,000. And in his old age, he made a temple for the worship of idols for his wives. You believe that? Jesus Christ, you read the Bible. He insults his mother. He says, woman, what have I to do with you? Woman! Is that how you talk to your mother? You expect a prophet of God to talk to his mother like that? And he describes himself as a wine bibber and a gluttonous eater. And ever and again, according to the Bible, he is ever abusive to his people, the elders of his people. He says, you generation of vipers, you snakes, you hypocrites, you fools, you wicked and adulterous generation, haram, kor, kom. You expect a prophet of God to talk like that? On that evidence alone, we would have rejected 100% all the prophets mentioned in the Bible. Allah says, look, these are masoom, they are sinless, we accept it. We accept that they were prophets, and the stories are false. We said, the stories about them are false. So similarly, about Rama, you know, we don't know what would happen. About Krishna, he could have been a good man. Buddha could have been a good man. But these are stories woven around. You know, certain personalities, exaggerated, fairy tales and all. So I would be charitable, I can't say that they were prophets. I said, look, they could have been good men. You know, they could have been chosen by God, because this was long before our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. But as the stories are woven around the prophets of the Bani Israel, similar things can also happen to the prophets of the Aryan. So from that point of view, as the stories are told to us, we say, now look, these are fabrications, you know, additions, frills are being added, like this Hanuman fellow, Hanuman, the monkey god. I see my neighbor in Varadam, Mr. Naidu, of the Divine Life Society, a little older than myself. This man, he invited me to his home for a cup of tea. As soon as I built my house, he calls me. So I go along, sit down in his library, and he had more books on religion than in the Gandhi library in Queen Street. So when I saw all those books, and being in the Divine Life Society, I'm asking him, I said, you know, Mr. Naidu, This Hanuman. Hanuman, you know, the monkey god. I said, was he an animate creature, you know, flesh and blood, or was he a machine, a robot? So he says, no, he was animate, you know, something like that, flesh and blood. I said, was he alone by himself, or did he have wife and children? So he said, no, he also had wife and children. There was a breed of them. I said, what happened to him? I said, you know what? Today in India, we have hundreds of different breeds of monkeys in India. But there is not one Hanuman breed. This breed is not there in India. And it's not there. You know, this is like an apple, like a Hercules. You know, big thing like that. But with a monkey face and with a tail of a monkey. Not like the velvet monkeys you find in the Burman bush. You know, the little thing. No. This is like a giant apple or Hercules, like that. What's that thing? Tiger thing. You know, all like that, tiger thing. You carry big, big rocks and, you know, put into the ocean. There's little monkies. You know, while they were throwing those little stones in there, those little monkeys, like the velvet monkeys. Still, that causeway wouldn't have been completed. So you need somebody big. So I'm asking now, what happened to them? Mr. Naim, what happened to them? I says, you know, we have a written history. India, 5,000 years old. So, if a flying saucer came and took them away, it must be written somewhere. An atom bomb fall and destroyed them all, there must be something written in our history. Mr. Naidu, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look it up for me. He says, yes, Mr. Naidu, I'll look it up. After a month, I visit him again. I said, Mr. Naidu, did you find anything? He said, no, not yet. I'll look for it. Diwali comes along, I go again. I said, Mr. Naidu, did you find anything? He says, no. I says, you know what? I said, there was no such thing. There's a Hanuman breed of monkey. So, but my book says this, it can't lie. I'm not telling your book is a liar. Your book is not lying. But there was no such thing as a Hanuman breed of monkey. So what makes you to say that? I said, you see, if there was such a thing, they would be in the front of our eyes all the time that these are the monkey gods that help our God. Again and again, every time you see, you say, Salam, he helped our God. This guy retrieved our wife, God's wife. You can never forget. Every time you see them, you say, these are the benefactors of our God. But there's no such thing. You know why? Because there was no such thing. But what about my book? I said, no, he's not lying. I said, you see, I am an Aryan, my nation. We are the Aryan nation. Because Muslims is rubbish. Comes from nothing. But to him, look, my nation is an Aryan nation, a master race. And we were looking down upon your people as Vanaras. Vanaras means monkeys. Like the Afrikaner, he calls the African Babuja. So what is Babuja? Babuja means baboon. What is baboon? Means monkey. You ask him who's doing his gardening for you, says the Babuja. Who's working the mines for you, says the Babuja. But he's talking about the poor African. He's not Babuja. Similarly, we were calling you people Vanaras. Vanaras means Vanaras. Vanaras means monkey. So, Rama goes to one of your people, nice people, kind-hearted people, one of your chiefs, Yomkosi. Yomkosi, like, of course, Mutilis. Here's Yomkosi, he says, look, man, my father kicked me out of my kingdom, and somebody stole my wife, I want you to help me. Oh, so he's happy, he says, you need help me, and I'll also do that. So he takes his troop of monkeys, and they build a causeway. Right. And they go and get themselves killed, and they did the job, they retrieve Sita. But now, in the mind of Rama, he says he's made a monkey out of the guy. They had their own food, they slave for 12 years, free of charge. But you know, they are such good people, the Tamils and the Telugus. They did the job. So in the mind of the arrogant fellow, he says, they made a monkey out of this fellow. He used them and he used for nothing, everything. His food, his labor, everything. He did the job. And when he went into battle, soon he got killed. For what? For a foreign race. He says, we made monkeys out of them. So that's what the wise man wrote. He says, this one of us, this is a monkey. This Babuja. You know, the king among them, Hanuman, he was like this and like that, and he did, and he brought his people, and he worked like lightning. So now the artist, there were no photographers there, so the artist now, he says, man, they were Vanaras. But, you know, little Vanaras, like the one in Burman Bush, they can't build a causeway, so he must give him a big bird. Tiger King, everybody. Right? But he was a Vanara, so they make a monkey face. And he's a Vanara, so they give him a tail. But there was no, I said, you know, that Vanara, that Hanuman is you. And every learned man I have spoken to, I said, in the absence of another theory, you have to accept my theory that this is it, that you are the Hanuman breed. You, in the minds of my people, even now, you know, the Banyan, he looks down upon the Hindustani. The Hindustani looks down upon the Tamil and the Telugu. That's why. Amen. So, things like this can happen. You know, over a period, you add frills and you put, you know, give the guy a monkey face and then you give him a tail. All that. But all these things didn't happen.
Huh?
These are the terms and the terms of scripture. They have made no bit out of that. Freedom from them. Freedom. And in freeing them,
all monks
are benefit from it. You're freeing, actually freeing yourself by freeing them. Once you allow them to be Christianized.
Huh?
I tell you,
not
the respect that they have for us. That's the moment they have respect. The Hindu has respect. I'm not talking about your competitors in the last. That's different. I'm talking about the ordinary man, the ordinary Hindu, the Tamil, the Telugu, the Naidu, the Pillai, the Governor, the Mudli. He has got respect for you. As soon as it's Christianized, finish. Now he wants to make mess in your head. Now he knows that you're going to go to hell. At the moment, the Sulla fellow is who? Ask him. And I'm telling him, and he agrees. I said, look, ask your father, your grandfather, if he's still alive, that if he needed £5 in the good old days, and there's a Hindu shopkeeper and there's a Muslim shopkeeper, who will you go to? No hesitation. He said, go to the Muslim. Sulla. I said, what for? Why Sulla? Why did you go to the Hindu? No, they know. So the Sulla fellow is all right. He can't say no. He's got respect for him. Why don't we, you know, use that respect to bring them in, make them our brothers? Instead of waiting for our brothers to convert them, why should we convert them?